You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say. We lean local, and we've got concerns, like everyone listening, about what's going on in the world in the Gaza Strip and in Ukraine and in the United States, D.C. But we want to talk about Greater Green Bay and what's happening here. And there's a lot going on here. We had the mayor on last week and some people from the school board. And obviously, our congressman's been on here a couple times. But what I want to talk about today, I met this guy and I'm like, I got to get you on my radio show. It's a little bit local, but it's a little bit national. Dr. K, he is like one of the smarter guys I've ever met. He's a ER doctor. You guys get paid pretty well. I kind of looked that up. Anyway, and you know, you guys listening know, you know, I love the entrepreneur. I love when people say, you know what, I'm going to try something. Still do what I do, but you know, you get a side hustle. Well, maybe that's not the right term. But the reason I asked you to come on this show is you've really leaned into Ozempic.
Yeah, I have. I think it's an amazing drug. I mean, use it quite often in our practice. So yeah, it's been doing really well for my patients.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
And my point with when I looked up your salary is that you didn't need to do this. I mean, you just believe in this, or what prompted you to start a? Do you have a chain? You have a couple locations, right?
No, actually, I only have one location. Oh. I like to call it a passion project. Yeah, I mean, with the ER job, it's a pretty decent job. I don't need to do any outside work, but I wanted to do something more wellness-related in the community. So me and my wife recently moved here in about 2021. So we're not from Wisconsin. You know, I grew up in Cincinnati, went to med school in Florida, trained in Mississippi. So more related to the South, but we really found a home in this area once we moved up here for our jobs. And we want to do something in the community that pushes the community forward, something that does more wellness and a little bit of giving back to the community at the same time. And as of right now, the biggest thing we notice in my practice is a lot of the diseases are related to obesity related.
Right.
So all the chronic diseases like heart attacks, fractured bones, and then strokes. Then really bad hypertension, head bleeds, all this really come down from chronic disease. And a lot of it comes down to being obese for a long period of time. So I decided, and my wife was a little bit inspirational as well, saying that, you know, why don't we do something to address this in the community while making everybody healthier.
But the origin and the development of this wasn't for what you're doing, right? I mean, this wasn't this like silo toward diabetes 2?
Yeah, so essentially the drug initially started, we call them GLP drugs, basic glucagon-like peptide, kind of going to like a basics of it. So glucagon essentially helps trigger hunger in your brain. So your stomach releases it and tells your brain if you're full, if you're hungry, or you're not hungry. The drugs have been on the market for close to 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. The initial drugs, they were made for diabetes.
Right.
Essentially, they were just to bring the blood sugars down because you ate a little bit less. That means your blood sugars were a little bit less. And then they realized the higher doses made you also lose weight in a relatively safe manner. So then, of course, the pharmaceutical companies took that and ran with it, did a few trials, and then essentially pushed and then showed FDA the data and said, and FDA approved the data saying that now it's now used for weight loss. So in diabetics, they're used for a lot smaller doses, but for weight loss, they're using much higher doses.
Wow, so somebody OD'd and that kind of got you the answer, right? They take a small thing for diabetes and now you take a larger...
Yeah, a larger dose. And that's just people, they noticed that people were losing a little bit of weight. And then, you know, as with everything that we deal with, once you notice some, I guess, desirable side effect, people tend to push the boundaries a little bit. So anecdotally, they realize, hey, people are losing weight on this. Let's see what we can do. Because before this, the only weight loss drugs on the market were not very safe. We had phentermine, which was a stimulant. And then before that, we even had some that were very deadly drugs that the FDA pulled off market pretty quickly. So before this GLP medication, which are Ozempic and tirzepatide, there weren't too many safe drugs on the market.
So you decided, I won't put words in your mouth, but that this is more than diabetes. This can actually change our culture, but help our community.
Yep.
Is that safe?
Yeah, absolutely. And then even all the studies right now, so the interest of diabetes, now people are using it for heart failure. So if you're a cardiac patient, the FDA just approved it for using in heart disease as well. And now it just released another approval for sleep apnea. So I'm hoping as more chronic diseases get approved, insurances will start covering these medications as well.
I read the heart disease thing. And now it's sleep apnea,
Sleep apnea,
and that's a huge, huge issue in this country. I mean, I was talking to a guy who owns the medical equipment thing, and I'm not kidding you, Doc. He said 40% of his business is sleep apnea.
Absolutely. Sleep apnea is huge. A lot of people are undiagnosed. I think that's where the biggest one is. If you feel like you wake up feeling groggy a lot, or if you don't feel like you have a good night's sleep, it's good to get tested. You probably have some underlying sleep apnea. And sleep apnea can also be in a scale. It could be severe to mild to moderate.
Yeah.
So it really depends on where you fall on the scale. If it's mild, you may not notice much, but if you're severe, you definitely notice a huge change in your energy level when you're on the CPAP machine. So a lot of Americans have sleep apnea. It's just, I think 80% are undiagnosed because they just didn't know what to look for, never got tested.
The only advice they got was an elbow in the ribs from their spouse.
Yep, pretty much.
So
yeah, or like if you're snoring a lot, you probably have sleep apnea. So. Yeah.
Wow. So with this drug, it seems like it's getting better and better in terms of uses. I don't know if it's getting more and more expensive. I want to talk to you later about that because I read something where it's $900,000. And we're going to get to should it be subsidized or not. But right now, every time you look at something, it's even better, right? I mean, you talked about it. I mean, heart disease, isn't that the number one killer?
Yeah, it is for both men and women these days. And then after that, I think it pretty much ends up being a cancer. It's usually heart disease. Related to heart disease would be the strokes as well. Then cancer and complication. And then after that, it becomes car accidents. So, heart disease is one of the highest killer for both men and women.
And this stuff, they're thinking the FDA or someone's thinking can help that.
Yeah, essentially it helps quality of life. So if you think about how heart disease happens, it happens because most of the time you're very unhealthy, overweight, you have high cholesterol. So this drug helps controls all the underlying issues like high blood pressure as well. And now you're at a much better risk factor-wise. You're a little bit healthier for sure.
Wow. I had to look up when I knew you were coming in today. I remember when I was a little kid, grade school, studying Ponce de Leon, The Fountain of Youth. This seems like this could be, it's incredible that every time I read something, I haven't seen a lot of negatives. Is it out there? Am I missing that? I just haven't, I understand the vomiting and I mean, that's nothing. But I mean, I'm talking about anything major. You talked about, I read something about kidneys. That could be an issue.
Yeah, so nothing really major. I think the only real major issue we may have to look at is possible inflammation in your pancreas. Because it does mess, because pancreas essentially creates digestive juices. It's a one way to think about it. So when we're messing with how your stomach gets emptied out, so there's potentially a pancreatic inflammation. But again, it happens in a very low population. And if that happens, then you can't be on the drug anymore. But beyond that, there really haven't been any published long-term bad side effects of the medication. Sometimes it could be kidney injury related, like you referred to, but that's mostly from because people don't drink water as much because they don't get hungry, they don't get thirsty, and so they don't stay hydrated. But if you stay hydrated, that's not really a big issue.
And is there anything side effects besides the medical, the emotional, like depression, anxiety? Has that been studied?
So it has to be studied in a positive way. So it has a lot of studies now in addiction. So let's say if you drink alcohol every single day, which is not healthy for you, people that have been known, both for my patients I've noticed anecdotally and published data show that people don't have the desire to drink as much anymore. They don't have the desire to smoke. So there is some, and then now they're pushing towards treating it in eating disorders as well as a part of treatment to psychiatry. So it really tends to help more on the positive effect of addiction, especially. As far as depression and anxiety goes, not so much. I really haven't seen any strong data supporting it puts you in a negative part. Some of the anxiety feeling could be just because you don't drink enough water, you feel like your heart's skipping a beat. Sometimes that gets underlying from that, but it tends to just really calm your brain down from all these overactive thoughts.
And this you call it a drug, right? Is injected with a needle?
Yes, so right now it is injected through the needle. It goes around your belly or somewhere on your arm or your legs. It just goes underneath the skin, so it's just like taking insulin. You take it once a week. There is one medication called Rybelsus that's on the market. That's oral medication, but it's very low dose. It doesn't work as well. But the pharmaceutical companies, that's the next push, is they're trying to put this medication in an oral form that you take every day. There are actually stage two clinical trials going on right now for that. If once they get approved, I think that will, now you have access to more people, especially people who don't like needles, will have access to that as well.
Okay, so who's making this stuff? I mean, not that I'm going to invest. It's probably a little bit late. But who is there? Two, three manufacturers?
Yeah,
there's
only two major ones. So yeah. Eli Lilly and then Nordisk. Those are the two main manufacturers of this drug right now. So Eli Lilly makes tirzepatide, which is like the Mounjaro, and Nordisk makes semaglutide, which is Ozempic. Right now, Viking Pharmaceuticals is on stage two clinical trials for retatrutide. I'm not sure what the brand name is going to be. That's a generic name. That's on class two. And it's supposed to be, the data shows it works better than both of these. I think they're expected to have phase three trials done by end of 2026. So probably in about 2 years that might come on the market. So
that's even better than the stuff you're talking about that does everything.
Yeah, that's even better because they really focused on side effects.
I just love hearing this because every time you talk about medical, waste of money, we're not getting anywhere. Yeah. We're spending all this money on research and here, something that's been around, but it just seems like it's getting better.
Yeah.
I got a couple of things I want to talk to you because some people buy this and they say this, if there's only two manufacturers, are there other people doing this in the garage? I want to just talk about the safety of this.
Absolutely.
And how that works. And then I want to talk about, I really want to get to, is this the answer to our health problem in the United States? So we'll talk about that too. You are listening to Lean Local. We are here with Dr. K. This is smartest guy that I've interviewed so far, ER doctor, but really leaning into this whole Ozempic thing, and it's exciting for our community here, and really it's going to be exciting for the whole country if this thing works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's already working really well, so I'm excited to see where they go in the future.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have an unbelievable guest in studio today. Dr. K, who is an ER doctor, emergency room doctor, and well-schooled. He talked earlier about where he did his residency and pretty much all over the U.S. And he's here in our community. And besides doing his ER work, he took such an interest in Ozempic. Is it really, what's the generic of that?
So the generic is semaglutide.
Semaglutide, yep. Yeah. It's easier to say Ozempic. Yep. And he has started a clinic. And the reason he started this clinic is, I hope you make money, but you really believe that this is some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing patients with semaglutide since March. But I really opened the clinic in November because people were asking to see me in person. And it's absolutely life-changing. So I have patients that are no longer on their blood pressure medication, patients that cholesterol is completely resolved now. patients that came and cried in my office because now they could attend their daughter's wedding across the overseas without worrying about mobility issues anymore. So
right.
It has been absolutely life-changing for a lot of my patients.
I mean, this is, as I was saying before we went to break, yeah, I know a little bit about healthcare, not a lot, but we spend a tremendous amount of money on research. I mean, even, you know, cancer, you know, we get all these fund runs and, you know, a lot of money to breast cancer and heart disease, you know, the heart ball. I'm sure you've been to all those things. And of course, the, you know, muscular dystrophy, there's just a lot of things that, and the money, when you talk to them, they say, well, it's going to research. And then here you got something that, yeah, this helps diabetes. Wait a minute. It helps weight loss. Wait a minute. It helps heart disease. You know, wait a minute. I mean, like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And then, I mean, I said, there's been a lot of people that put a lot of effort into this research to get it out to market. And then this medication has been phenomenal. And then we're finding more and more indications on when to use these GLP medications. So the list is expanding every single year as more studies come out.
But we talked. There's really only two major manufacturers of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when you go online, I don't know, 20 maybe, 15, and you can buy it there. Is that the same stuff? Are they buying from the manufacturer? Are they making it in the garage? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to get the medication. First is directly from the manufacturer. So if you go to CVS, Walgreens, they get it directly as a brand name medication. The other way to get it is through compounded medication. So pharmacies, right in this country, the FDA has a rule that says, if a medication is in short supply, compounding pharmacies can compound it and get it to your patients however they want to do it. So what that means is essentially the manufacturer has a price. They get the medication itself from essentially same facility. So all the facilities are usually FDA certified anyway. But compounding pharmacies across the country will take the medication. Some will just mix it with normal saline, which is just sterile water, or some will mix it with B12, some of the other things, and then compound it and then ship it to the patient's house. The caveat with this is you have to be careful on which pharmacy you're getting it from. First, compounding pharmacies have two major associations. So Compounding Pharmacies of America is the major overseeing organization. It's called CPA. And then they are the pharmacists can be certified for 503A and 503B. What that means is 503A and 503B means one of them certifies that they can ship it to the clinic, and one of them certifies they can ship it directly to the patient. The ones that can ship it directly to the patient have much stringer rules and regulations. That means they're constantly monitored and regulated. And pretty much any reliable pharmacist will be able to do a third-party testing to ensure that it's pure. That it's 99% to 100% pure. So if you can't get it from a brand name from Walgreens or CVS, then if you go through another physician like myself or an online provider, the first thing you should ask is, where are you getting your medication from? Do you have a certification to show that it's pure? And can you prove it to me? And those questions...
Will they be offended by that? Or
I don't think that should be offended because it's easy to get. Okay. I just ask the pharmacy and they'll give you the certification.
Because prices fluctuate too.
Yeah. So it's prices. So like if you get a brand name, it's semaglutide or Ozempic is probably about $800 to $900
right,
a month.
It is.
Through compounding pharmacy, usually we can get anywhere from $300 to $450 a month, depending on who you go see. So prices will fluctuate per physician or the prescriber that's prescribing it to you, or the different pharmacy as well. So the prices will fluctuate depending on where you go. But I just want to
be clear on this. It's just as good. Sometimes you believe that, well, this costs more, it's got to be better. But, I was looking at some pricing, you know, getting ready for this, and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of all over the board. And you're saying if you say to them, look, give me your, is that called the CPA, 503A?
Yeah, 503A, 503B,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You show me that, and if your price is $450 and yours, somebody else's is
$800,
you wouldn't worry, you wouldn't have any hesitation to go with the $450.
Not at all. As long as, one, they can show me a certificate of purity, and one, they can show me that the pharmacy is has the certification with the Compounding Pharmacies of America, and they're accredited through them, I won't have any concerns. Because most of the compounding pharmacies also compound other medications, like EpiPens, and compounding pharmacies do a lot of medications to compound for, especially for like hospitals that need particular type of medication that are rare to get. So I don't have any concerns with pharmacies themselves. It's as long as they're certified and they're overseen by organization, they just got to be able to show the proof.
And again, right now, can anyone get this? I mean, I don't mean like walk into the store and buy it. You need a prescription to get it, right?
Yes, it's prescribed medication.
But it seems like with all the boxes it checks that anyone should be, a lot of people would qualify. Maybe I'm saying that. Isn't 48% of the country obese or something?
Yeah,
or
it
43
is. It
or
is.
It's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people qualify. The underlying question really comes down to is the insurance going to pay for it? And that's the hard question.
But, we're going to get to that in the second half. I don't get that. If it's $450 a month and it's doing all these things, wouldn't you spend it yourself?
Yeah, I mean,
you're a doctor.
Agree.
I'm talking about people. Look, that's a lot of money, $450. Yeah. But for what this can do, and once you do lose weight, I mean, long-term effects got to be remarkable.
Yeah, long-term effects are remarkable. And then we also, a lot of times, we can also cut back on the dosage due to long-term effects. So dosage, we usually go on a higher dose as you start losing weight, and then we can play with the dosage and kind of cut back once you get to maintenance. So long-term efforts are pretty phenomenal. I mean, once you start losing weight and all this, chronic inflammation and heart disease go down, you get quality of life back. So the biggest question you really should ask yourself is it worth it for the quality of life you're going to get back? And then that'll be a hard press to say no for that. I mean, I think it's an amazing medication. I think it's worth it.
Wow. I went to Nashville this weekend, flew down with my wife, and this guy got on a plane in middle seat, and I don't know, 380.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for the guy. I wasn't like, come on. I mean, I felt sorry for him. And man, I got to introduce you to that guy.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Because, I mean, sometimes, it's a social aspect of it.
Right.
Too.
That's what I'm talking more, the social thing. I mean, the health. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about, like, I think the government should step in on this. And whether you do or not, I know there's somebody else in the room that doesn't think that should happen. But man, if we can reduce the obesity, I think that's a huge step in the right direction for knees and hips and all this other stuff that I'm going to spend money on.
Absolutely. I mean, hip surgery is pretty penny.
Right.
Yep.
It's more than $450.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Very special guest, Dr. K. We're talking Ozempic and how it's helping our community here in the Green Bay area. But really, when we come back, we'll talk about how this can help this whole country someday, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back. You're simply the best.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This, to me, Doc, is a fun show. We're here with Dr. K, and Dr. K is a ER, emergency room surgeon in the community, and young guy, smart guy, 33 years old. But when I first met you, you do have an entrepreneurial bug in you.
Yeah, a little bit. I've always done something a little different. Yeah,
I love the entrepreneur, and I think that's awesome. And you, not discovered, but you've learned that this Ozempic may be something really good, not just for the community. As you and your wife said, we want to help the community, but maybe good long term.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the best drugs out there for weight loss right now.
All right. So you opened up a clinic, right? You were doing it mail order out of your house? How did you do that? Or we'll just say that you opened a clinic, right? In November, you said?
Yeah, November. Absolutely.
Okay, and where's that at?
So it's at a River Heath in Appleton.
Okay. All right. So you got this clinic. And I got to ask you, I know it's HIPAA, I get all that stuff, but are people, what do they think? How are they doing?
Yeah, people love it. So the clinic has been getting more and more popular. We need a lot more traction. A lot of, actually, I don't even advertise. All my patients come from personal referrals.
Oh, if that which are the best.
Something. Yeah, because they realize it's usually family members or friends, because once they see the family member or the friend, the change in them, especially after the holidays, essentially what happened was we had a huge uptick because people didn't see each other until holidays. They saw each other. They may have not seen each other for like 4 or 5 months. They're like, whoa, what happened to you?
Right.
And then right after holidays, my appointments just got filled. My appointment book just got filled because they saw the big changes. So, and they want that too.
And the referrals where it's at. You told the story in the first half, but I don't think people understand with the weight loss, what doors open for them. Yep. Like the international travelers.
Yeah, the international travels and fitting back into your old clothes you never thought you were going to fit back into, getting away with your body aches and joint aches, or just going and enjoying life fun. So now you can do the hike that you always wanted to do, or maybe the car rides don't hurt your back anymore. It could be simple as that. Now it doesn't hurt you in the morning when you get up, your back doesn't hurt anymore. Yeah. Or you can play with your grandkids on the ground and get up without falling over. So it could just be simple things just around the house, but life just becomes more enjoyable.
So, like I said, 48% of the United States is obese.
Yep.
And that's the way they do that here is what, a 30 BMI? Is that
yeah, BMI of 30, yes.
A 30, so I think it's almost 50%. Any age limits or restrictions? I mean, if somebody's listening to the show and say, I'm calling this cake, this sounds like, you know, yeah, like so I said, the fault in the youth.
Yeah, so there's no age limits. The older, as you get more older, that you just have to monitor you more closely just because you're more fragile. Like, let's say if I do have patients that are in 80s and 90s, I just got to, I just had to watch them very closely and monitor them very closely just because they're a little bit more fragile. But I have I personally see everybody from 18 till really there's no upper limit. But it's also been using pediatric obesity as well. That's been a big push. So the medication, I believe, is for anybody 12 and above. So even the pediatric centers are using it quite as a big tool to kind of get their obesity rates down.
That's really fun to watch that group, you know. So here we are living in the United States. Love it. But we're also $32 trillion in debt.
Yes.
A significant amount of, not a significant, but a lot of our money goes to healthcare.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have a couple programs out there, Medicare, Medicaid. There's been some talk, and I want to get your opinion on this because I was in politics. There's been some talk that maybe the government should give this to people or subsidize it. And what do you think? Is that an answer? And then I just want to say there's somebody in this room who said to me, what? A pill? Tell them to exercise and eat right.
I think it's a part of an answer. So I think you had to give people an access to it. Because even right now, so I charge $300 for my patients. Even then, that is still a significant amount of money for a lot of people for a monthly cost. So I can't completely understand that. But the government also has to look at long term, right? Most of the money in this country, most of the healthcare spending is spent in the last decade of your life. That's when people are the sickest, and that's when you start going to hospitals pretty much every single day for one chronic disease or another. So if we can prevent that from happening early on the back end, you save a lot of money. Yeah. And I think life is also, but I think there has to be a factor of holding someone accountable. You can't just take the medication and do nothing, because that's not going to fly either.
But we've been talking like that is the only, that's not the only answer. I want to clarify that to the listeners and to me. So you take Ozempic and you said it's once a week?
Yeah, once a week.
Okay. And it's through needles right now, but you're looking at a pill.
Yep.
And what else do we have to do if we want to lose weight?
So the next one is getting your diet together. So diet isn't everything. And it doesn't mean you have to eat just leafy vegetables. It's about making healthy choices. So not eating the processed food like Oreos or cookies all the time. They're a treat, but you shouldn't be eating them every single day. So really getting a lifestyle diet together on how to have healthy eating habits, which we do at our clinic as well. So we do have a nutritionist that kind of help you walk you through the process. The other part of it is also daily exercise. Yeah. Sometimes it can just be simple as walking for 30 minutes. That's all you need to do. Just after a meal, after dinner, get your family together, go take a walk for 30 minutes and just kind of talk and enjoy the social aspect of it. You don't have to walk fast. You just walk and talk. And that would be enough to make a big difference in your life.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. We had a mayor's conference down in South Carolina, and the Surgeon General came and talked. He was great. I actually split a cab with him on the way back. But somebody asked him if one drug that you could give out, what would it be?
Yep.
He said, 30 minutes of walking a day. That costs nothing.
Absolutely. That's nothing. Most Americans don't even get that because we have a desk job. We go to our car to go to work and get in our car to go back home. That's it. So most Americans don't walk like that far. So.
Right. Okay. I want to go back to the Ozempic. Somebody comes and sees you or any doctor really and gets on that. When are they going to see something? You say this 4 or 5 months, you know, people see you at in the summer, you know, you get together, family gets together in July, and then at Christmas, they're like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. So usually we start on a low dose and work our way up, because if you start on a high dose, then you're going to have side effects like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation. or pancreatitis. So we start on a really low dose, and then we slowly work our way up step by step every month. And then we just evaluate every single month, see how you're feeling. Most people will start losing weight around month 3 and month 4. And after that, it accelerates pretty quickly. So we almost sometimes have to pull back the dose a little bit, saying, hey, you're losing too much weight too quickly. We have to make it a little bit more healthier. So around month 3, month 4 is when I expect people to start losing weight, and you kind of maintain that until you hit your goal weight. Usually use about 20%, 15 to 20% is the expected weight loss. So if you weigh 200 pounds, anywhere between like 20 to 40 pounds over a one-year period is what we expect you to lose.
That's significant.
That's a lot.
I mean, a lot of people who weigh 200 haven't weighed 160 since...
since high school, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, can I ask you, yeah. I don't have to follow HIPAA like you do. Did you do this? Are you on this?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yes.
And I mean, you look great. But
yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I did it for a little bit because when I was done with my residency, when I was, even as a practicing physician, I was I probably weighed about 200 pounds. And with the stressful lifestyle, I was like, okay, I need something to kind of help me push through. I am no longer on it because once I started losing weight, I kind of got my eating habits and exercise routine into a more regular schedule.
Right. So you're not on Ozempic anymore?
Not anymore.
Okay.
But I did use it for a few months to kind of get started. And then, and results were amazing.
Back to the whole country. Is there a movement on this? Have they called you? Or do you have a lobbying group? And you say that people would lobby against having this subsidized or given to people, or even like insulin, cap it at whatever, $200 a month, which I got to believe your food savings alone would be $200 a month, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any grassroots movement right now. The biggest one is Medicare and Medicaid are both evaluating to see if this should be part of their formulary. I don't know if they made a decision yet. I'm not up to date on that. Right now, Medicare does not allow weight loss medications as part of the formulary at all. So if you have weight loss as a diagnosis, they will not allow it. But I think they do allow it for heart disease and diabetes. So the goal right now is there's some small movement, but it's not a very strong one to really push for that. And the biggest one's also against from pharmaceutical companies from the other side lobbying to keep the prices high because they make a lot of money on this, billions a year.
Well, they have people, Oprah and some of these other celebrities, and wasn't that part of the supply problem is that the wealthy were kind of scooping it up over the diabetics?
Yeah, I think it's not just the wealthy, it's around the whole world. So basically when the medication first started coming out, it became really popular. I don't think they expected the demand it was going to create.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was here and around the whole world. Like, everybody wanted it. And also, they also had issues with not only keeping up the manufacturing, but also manufacturing the pens. So essentially, they patented the delivery system, which they can't keep up with the manufacturing. So it gets into, like, nitty-gritty at that point. So once they can't keep that anymore, it went on shortage. And that's how the compounding pharmacies were able to compound and sell it to the rest of the world.
I mean, you got the solution, but there's people making money on those needles, and man, that's got to be huge business.
Yeah, it's a huge business. And then the kind of part that really gets under my skin a little bit is, in America, the medication probably costs about, $800, like we talked about, $800 to $1,500, depending on where you are, if you get a good Rx coupon or not. But if you go to Eastern Europe, it costs you $120 for a month's supply. If you go to Middle East, it costs less than that. So essentially, we are somewhat subsidizing rest of the world supply at the same time. So it the price is cheaper anywhere else except this country.
He'll put a tariff on it.
Yeah.
Our president has lost weight. Yep. Is he any rumors? Is this Ozempic that's
I don't know, but I'd love to know.
Well, I think if it's working, he'll get that going. I want to go back to the age, 18. You're not concerned about age. Is there a group of people or is there a person that's like, I don't think you should look at this?
Yeah. So someone, I mean, there's not really a criteria group of people. The biggest risk factor would be if you have any history of medullary thyroid cancer, which is less than 0.5% of a population. That would be the only hard contraindication. But other than that, if you try the medication in the past and didn't work, that might be another group that it's not going to work for you the second time. It's not going to change that. But beyond that, as long as that's why you need a physician to sit down and take a very detailed history to see if they expect any complications and just kind of address it as they come up as they come on.
Yeah. All right. We're talking with Dr. K, who is an ER doctor. But him started a, what would you call that? A division?
Yeah, so essentially like a wellness clinic.
You started a wellness clinic, and it's a walk-in clinic, and you assess the people, take their blood work, and get them on the right, I don't know, recipe, whatever you call it.
Yeah, it's the right plan.
The right plan.
And then we do all that in the clinic space during the first appointment. Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. That has got to be, you know, you doctors, and I, you know, told you my kid is one. You see a lot of, like, not so good things, especially you in the ER room.
Yeah.
This has got to be, like, unbelievably rewarding when somebody comes in and...
Yeah, in the ER, you know, ER service is amazing and rewarding because you get to do, essentially save a life and then critical when you need you the most. But then you also lose the follow-up. So once you take care of the patient, you hand them off to the next doc in line, and then you're pretty much done. You may or may not see them again.
Right.
Versus this, you get to have a long-term relationship with the patients. You get to know the patient, and you actually see the life journey, how it changes them, and how you're able to make that effect. So it's a different rewarding center,
right.
I feel like, yeah.
And people do get off it eventually? Are there some people that aren't the rest of their life, like insulin?
It's very dependent. So some people, we can slowly get them off it completely. Some people, unfortunately, they have a lot of food noise. For people that have a lot of food noise.
What is that?
A food noise, basically, think of like a... almost like a craving, the constant craving for food, like constantly hungry, constantly wanting a snack.
I have that.
Yeah. So we have that. We call the food noise.
Okay.
So some people that have the food noise, unfortunately, might not be able to get them off completely.
Because it's always there.
It's always there. And at some point, you're only human. At some point, you're going to give in.
Right.
So, but for some people who get everything together and they don't have that constant food noise, we're able to get them off completely.
I think this is awesome. I'm so happy you're doing this in our community, right? I mean, because like I said, obesity in the United States is just, you know, it's crazy how big this is. And your clinic can help people. And sure seems like it's working. You know, it's not like this, not, I wouldn't want to call it snake oil, but it just seems like this really works for almost everyone. You said, what, 10% of the people, maybe it doesn't work?
Yeah, so I have some patients that doesn't work optimally, about 10%. But we also, and that's the only medication, that's just with semaglutide, tirzepatide, but then we can also add other obesity medications that are on the market as been there for a long time. So we can add as almost like a protocol and see where things take us.
All right. Doc, this is great. Stick around. We got one more little quick segment here. A few other questions for you. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt and Dr. K and Ozempic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we have a special guest in-house, Dr. K. We've been talking about Ozempic, and I'm convinced after talking to this guy that, you know, this is the Ponce de Leon Fountain of Youth. It just seems like it checks a lot of boxes. I want to get to just maybe a couple other concerns I might have, but first thing, I thank Nicolet Bank, bank down here, and they sponsor this show, and they're friends of mine, and they're friends of the community, and they have 57 branches, and we've had some of their, I told one of the VPs, I said, come on the show, just tell me about your bank. He goes, get our customers to tell you about our bank, which I think is really cool. That would be like someone else talking about Ozempic besides you being the doctor. And we've had some people on here, Copper State, and they just really thank Nicolet for helping them, because a bank is good, but a really good bank is good when things aren't great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get to COVID. Or, you know, the industry shifts on you and you don't have the right products for the market and you're going to take some time to retool. And Nicolet does that. They're a patient bank. They do a lot of retail in terms of housing. And, you know, a lot of people have their money there. They have a financial department. But I'm glad they're here. That was a good investment back in 2002. I was one of the original investors. Then I got elected, probably 2000. And then, I don't know, they built a new bank downtown in the media at a fit, so I had to sell my stock, which I wish I'd have done, but I should have bought Ozempic anyway. So back to you, Dr. K, ER doctor, getting into Ozempic clinics, health and wellness clinics. This seems to work. I'm convinced. I don't think you're a big salesman. I just think you speak the facts.
Yeah, I just speak the facts and then let the patient make a decision and the results speak for themselves.
But a couple things. Nighttime eating, people that wake up, is it still working then?
Yeah, it does. So essentially, it suppresses the hunger for a week straight. So that's the nice part about this medication. And then with being compounded, we can also adjust the dosage. So we can adjust it to for people to take it. Some people, we can actually take it every single day. We just do a much lower dose.
Oh, really?
And some people take it twice a week. So depending on when you're eating and when your hunger is, but it usually just kind of cuts the hunger down. So as I don't have that addictive type of personality anymore, really helps with that. So it helps with nighttime eating, midnight cravings. You don't have the leftovers calling your name from the fridge anymore. So that tends to help quite a bit.
Wow. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Let me ask you, as a physician, and how long have you been practicing? What, 20 years? Do you think the U.S. is in a health crisis?
Unfortunately, I think it is, because our mortality rate has been raising no matter what we do every single year, year on year. So it is absolutely in a health crisis, and we're behind every single first world country in health and longevity and quality of life.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The money we spend?
And we spend more than any other country.
Right. I know. And we're last?
And we're last. Dead last. Like, we're not even finishing the crossing line. Like, we are dead last. So that's the scary part. So we're not doing something correctly. And I think we really need to change how we address the chronic issues. I feel like the access in this country is phenomenal. Like, there's no other country in the world that has access like we do. So I don't know if it's the education part, something that us doctors and prescribers are not doing something correctly. I don't know if it's a problem with the mindset in this country from general population, how they care for their health. I don't know if it's because the insurance every single year seems to get worse and worse. I honestly don't know what the solution really is or where the problem is. I feel like it's a little bit of everything. I'm not sure what the solution is.
That's really interesting, because all those things you just rattled off, I mean, they're all true.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the problem is, but doesn't it just come down to self-discipline? I mean, insurance, I get that.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to be self-discipline. I think a good chunk of it also has to do with education. Let's think about smoking cessation, for example. Like, once we actually started educating kids and general public on dangers of smoking, the smoking rates just dramatically fell off.
Yeah.
So I think they need to be a lot, a really aggressive forward for public service education, like they did with smoking cessation on obesity medicine. But it's also a very social, touchy topic, right? Because now we're looking at people, a lot of people have this self-worth wrapped up in it. There's also some big social connotation that's wrapped up in it. There's some body positivity that's wrapped up in it. So I think it's a very complex issue, but I think there needs to be a really good, strong push on healthy living, healthy habits. And I think a lot of it has to come from the government on really educating the population. It has to be constant, no matter where you go, you always get this education. I think that will definitely get people to change a little bit.
I would hope that if that does happen, that we don't need as much Ozempic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I think people might say, well, I'm going to run up the scale and I'm getting on Ozempic next year.
Yeah.
That's
the wrong way to do it. It's the wrong way to do it. And the wrong way to do it, some people think they can just take the shot and then once they lose weight, they can stop it cold turkey. And then you have this, what we call like a rebound effect. Essentially, if you don't do it properly, then your hunger and comes back, and now you gain more weight because you tend to eat more. So now you gain more weight back. It's like bariatric people that got the stomach staple and bariatric surgery that lose weight, but then they rebound back more than what they were before. So that's why you can't just take the shot and forget about it. You have to do it very carefully, and you have to have someone guide you through this process.
So with all we talked about in the last hour, it doesn't seem that difficult. I mean, you got the shot, the solution. It's, to me, and I think to a lot of people, that's not that expensive, $500 bucks. You know, I mean, and then to walk 30 minutes, I mean, how hard is that?
It's not really hard. You just have
to. You look at me and think, well, aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about me.
That's not part of the radio. So I think it's just a matter of making a priority in life. I understand life is stressful for a lot of people in general. Like, life just stressful. There's a lot of things going on at the same time. But I think if you make a priority in life, 30 minutes is not really that long period of time. I mean, you can, people just scroll on phone for TikToks that more like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Right.
Just walk while you're scrolling if you want to. Just, yeah, get up and move.
I think you are incredible. And if Kennedy doesn't get confirmed, I'm voting for you.
Well, thank you. You flatter me too much, but I'll take it. Flattery always works.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Dr. K, thank you for being in here. I'm going to get you back because I want to... I want some people, some friends of mine, I know are going to be coming to talk to you, and I'll talk to them first. But
absolutely,
you know, if we can show some real life examples right here in Green
Bay. Yeah, I mean, maybe, yeah, I'll kind of reach out to my patients and see if any of them will be willing to come out publicly.
It's a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
yeah, thanks for what you're doing. You're going to make it a healthier America here. Thanks for joining us. This is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local, Dr. K, and we talked a lot about obesity and Ozempic and some of the things we have to do in this country. And we're glad you joined us. I love this subject, and there's a lot more I want to talk about.
And there's a lot that people can learn from this subject topic. Right. I think there's a lot to talk about in general.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, Dr. K.
Well,
and
thanks
this
for
is
having
Lean Local
me.
Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next Sunday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.